It's Window Nation's semi-annual sale, and it's a big deal. Right now, get 50% off all windows along with no interest for 5 years plus bonus savings when you schedule a consult today. If your windows leak, get foggy or hot, or you're paying high utility bills, that's a big deal. With Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Schedule a no-obligation in-home estimate now. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
You're listening to the Go Birds Pod, a Radio.com podcast about your beloved birds.
Oh, what's going on? Philadelphia. Hello, everybody. It is a beautiful, Monday? Unfortunately, that's the only downside of the week. It's Monday. Means that there is another Eagles practice. We'll get two this week. So we'll be back here again on Wednesday. And then that leads us right into minicamp, which I don't know. Elliot, I would say today was more a lighter affair. A lot of individual drills, not a lot of team practice, but still plenty to get into. Elliot, I hope you're driving safe.
Well, today I am driving safe, and today was a beautiful day because you were there with me.
Aww.
I wasn't riding solo. So I was able to hear your trash Sydney takes to Sydney Jones takes right live as they were happening.
All right, just to get to it early. There was a Sydney Jones was on Zach Ertz during 11-on-11s during like the red zone drill, and covered beautifully, by the way. Forced an overthrow.
The pass was way overthrown, but I will agree. The coverage was good on it. I'll agree with you.
He was good again today. I got to say, well, there's more important stuff. Clearly, Deshaun and Carson keep exciting me, and they should excite you too. And I know in your OTA reviews, we can go check out the rest of Elliot's notes at 94WIP.com/GoBirds for any of that. Yo, Osman's fucking yoked. I didn't realize like 10 pounds meant it looks like 25. Like his arms are pretty jacked, and he is a lot quicker than he was at OTAs last year. And again, Sure, I don't think we have to keep explaining what OTAs mean and don't mean. So take that for all what it's worth. But I thought that was pretty interesting. And then the other thing that I was thinking of, because Barnett wasn't out there and Alshon Jeffrey wasn't there either. And I got a little note on that too.
All right.
It's just seeing Vinnie Curry, Jernigan, Jackson, and Brandon Graham is one of the best defensive lines just without Fletcher Cox and the rest of the stuff on its own. Like, I don't think people understand that. Like, that's
it's a good one.
It's a
I
really,
don't know if I'd say one of the best.
I would say it's one of the best defensive lines just based on that alone.
Let me push back on that for
all
a
right.
second. So I agree it has a lot of potential. And I agree, it's not a bad defensive line, just those four, not taking into account backups and everything, right? But Vinnie Curry didn't have a great year last year. Malik Jackson got benched because he was bad against the run. Timmy Jernigan played how many snaps last year?
Like, because he was 40? Dead. Now he's alive.
Hopefully he's alive, right? And then Brandon Graham is obviously one of the better defensive ends in the league. So I think it's a good defensive line, but I would just...
I didn't say the best. I didn't say the best. I said one of the best, just bare bones. Then you put in Fletch, and next to that, the two things, because I was really paying attention to the defense because I really wanted to see what was going on with the rotations and stuff. But even with Malik Jackson, I can't stress enough how I think we are underrating how good this guy can be here. You know, I understand the down year, but I look at, you know, Fletch's size, and then I look at how tall Malik Jackson is, And if Fletch is breaking that pocket, even if he can't get there, his arms are so big that it's going to force bad throws a lot. So I'm just telling you, this defensive line is fucking ridiculous. Like, once it's all said and done and healthy and the rotation's in there, I am really, really excited. Now, there's some defensive ends that got to be. I'm not saying Vinnie Curry's all world. I'm just saying, even if it was with the rest of the talent that's here, man, I mean, we should be just as excited as Carson Wentz to Deshaun as this rotation is all I'm trying to say.
Well, now you've just gone to take it too far. I mean, look, like, I disagree with you pretty strongly about the defensive line thing. Like, yes, they have potential. There's potential. But there are more question marks than sure things along this whole defensive line. And one thing, you mentioned we don't talk about Malik Jackson enough. I would agree. I think as a pass rusher, it's not brought up enough how much he is going to help. Because you want to put Brandon Graham on the inside, and he can just be an elite pass rusher from the inside. But the other thing that definitely doesn't get talked about enough is that Fletcher Cox is going to miss this whole offseason basically with a foot injury. And we just saw last year how much that impacted Brandon Graham with the foot injury. When you're a big guy like that and you can't really do your normal workout for a whole offseason, and I'm sure they have ways to do cardio. And look, Fletcher Cox is one of the hardest workers on the team. So I'm not saying him or Brandon Graham weren't working hard. I'm just saying when you're a guy that big and your foot's broken and you have to get back in shape, it's hard. So I think Fletcher Cox, although probably going to have a very good year, I think there's reason to be skeptical. But where I really disagree with you is there is way more reason to be excited for Eagles fans with Carson and Deshaun than there is this defensive line, because they have looked very, very good. And there's really, other than the potential view of them getting hurt, not many questions or unsure things there that there is with the defensive line.
Well, and to be fair, that's one person versus, you know, I don't know, six or seven. Well, so yeah. And if either one of those gets hurt between Carson or Deshaun, and I'm knocking on all the wood that I can find right now, then it's not as exciting for anybody. I understand all that. I'm just throwing it out there that if they reach their potential, wow, it's pretty exciting. But I will say, it has continued on. Elliot is dead on here. I mean, this is day in and day out, every time that you've, and I say that like we've been there every single day, but right. for three practices, I mean, it is crazy the amount of work that they have put into that. And I credit Deshaun for being at OTAs. I'm like Alshon Jeffrey right now. And ultimately, I don't really care, but that is needed. And outside of like one really bad underthrown deep ball from Wentz to Deshaun today, it's just they're all over the place, and it doesn't matter who Deshaun is on. It can be anybody. Like that crossing route, the infamous Deshaun crossing route that's like, you know, 10 yards deep in the middle of the field, he is still as fast as ever and like checking all the different boxes to be like, there's nothing here that is showing that there's going to be a decline in his game at all. And the first look is always to him. Every single time, 7-on-7, 11-on-11, the first look is to him. And you're going, oh, my God, like the explosiveness. And it reminds me, since we've been, you know, kind of batting around Chip Kelly's ghost in the air for the last couple of weeks, it reminds me of those big explosive plays. Not that we haven't seen them here since Doug's been here. They've been all over the place, especially in the playoffs when they won the Super Bowl. But that's I think it's at a different level, and just, you know, again, all potential, all that stuff. But I think that is we might be underrating that too, you know. And
look, there's an argument to be made that Deshaun Jackson is the most talented receiver Carson's ever played with. Like, I get that Deshaun is viewed as a one trick pony, and with good reason, right? I mean, the guy disappears at times because all he can be is a one trick pony at certain points. But at the end of the day, Deshaun doesn't get over 10,000 yards receiving in the NFL if he wasn't a very good route runner, which is something Nelson's pointed out. He has pretty, you know, like I would say underrated hands. I mean, he's made a few pretty tough catches at OTAs. He's great along the sidelines. So, look, he's a huge upgrade. And I think to your point, what really just matters is, although it feels like 95% of the passes that are thrown towards him are completed, but even though the ones that aren't, just the fact that Carson is going to get probably, I don't know, in the practices we've seen, if you add them up, like 50 to 60 targets of Deshaun, and that's not even including the, you know, other 60% of the practice we can't even watch. The fact that he's going to get so many targets to Deshaun this summer, so many hours logged in working with him, it's just, it's huge. And on that same token, it's why other receivers should be here. Aguilar wasn't here today. Alshon has not been here at all, I don't believe. And it's, the benefit is that Deshaun, that Carson can focus on Deshaun. But the downside is you're not getting the same reps with all the receivers. You are with Aguilar. He's been there a lot, but Alshon hasn't been.
Yeah, and look, like, can it? I don't know how to feel about that, because I'm always the guy that doesn't care if somebody's not there for OTA. But, you know, with Deshaun, it really makes sense because you want to get the timing down. And speaking of that, I mean, you can tell that they're working on hand signals and certain things of what they see. Yep. And like Deshaun was making sure that Carson clearly saw, hey, man, I can clear that. So fake that next time and I'm gone. You know, all of that. I think that's so, that is very important. If it's a first time working together, absolutely. So that's why I say, like, I can't be too mad at Alshon Jeffery. I don't know. I'm with you. For some reason, like, Fletch, you can understand because he's coming off of injury. Even if Fletcher wasn't there, I didn't have a problem with him being there. For some reason, Alshon not being there bothers me, and I can't put my finger on it. More or less, maybe it's just because I want tons of chemistry between all the different wide receivers and Carson, and let's just go everywhere that he possibly can and feel comfortable doing so, and just make sure everybody's on the same page. They have a whole training camp to do that, so I'm not necessarily like freaking out or anything, but I don't know. It just bothers me, and I can't figure it out. I really can't. So
yeah,
I think that the other thing that has been caught at least everybody's ear, and I don't know if I heard this wrong, but was Doug Peterson during his press conference today just answering a question on who would replace Darren Sproles in that role if it is even on the roster yet? And he answered Boston Scott, right? He didn't say Boston Scott's going to be the guy that ends up, replacing Darren Sproles, or at least that's what we have the plan for him, right?
I think it was just Doug saying, look, as of right now in OTAs, Boston Scott might be the best person we have to fill that role. I don't think that if they played a game today, you would see Boston Scott get 20 snaps on offense. I think you would still see Jordan Howard a lot. You'd still see, well, Miles Sanders if he was healthy, and Wendell Smallwood, Corey Clement, those type of guys over Boston Scott. They like Boston Scott. I personally just don't really see it. I think Corey Clement is better than him. I think you can make the argument Wendell Smallwood's better than him. You certainly hope Miles Sanders is better. Then obviously Jordan Howard is what he is at this point. In the passing game, I know we're going to talk about that in a little bit, but I would be very surprised if Boston Scott ended up having a big role on this offense. But if he does, he's going to have to earn it. It's not one that the Eagles are just going to hand to him.
Yeah, and I don't know. I do think it's interesting, though, that there is a possibility that, I mean, there's no way that Corey Clement doesn't make this team, right?
No. I don't think he's a complete and utter lock, but I would say he's 95%. Would you agree? I mean, I could be convinced the other way. I just, like, who's taking his roster spot? It's not going to be Josh Adams. It's not going to be Boston Scott, in my opinion.
I don't know. Like, there's yet to be, like, hey, you're the punt returner. So I don't know if that plays into it. Like, if Boston Scott is going to return punts and be part of the kickoff return, he's got to fit somewhere, and maybe that's just RB4 and Wendell Smallwood's gone, which I'm sure everybody's going to be like, oh, yeah, sure, fine, whatever. But I don't know. It'll be interesting. And, again, we're down to fighting about running back number four. tells you how deep this roster is yet again.
I think Wendell Smallwood has a better chance of making this roster than Boston Scott. I'll say that.
Yeah, there you go, Fly 64. Still in the hunt, baby. It's never going to die. Like, their bond is connected kind of forever. Yeah, but tell us about that passing game that you were alluding to there. What did you see out of the offense today?
Well, I mean, Carson looks phenomenal, as he has in the two practices I've seen. I mean, he's healthy. Doug said before practice he's feeling really strong, both in his arm and his lower body, which is obviously huge. You can see the extra zip on his passes. He just looks more comfortable out there. I mean, the one thing he's doing a really good job of in the practices so far is I don't think he's taken off and run a single time. And I know it's OTA, so, it's not a live pass rush, but He's sitting back there. He's making his reads. He's been lights out. He just really has been. And obviously we've talked about Deshaun, but outside of that, I think Jordan Howard looks comfortable catching the ball.
Yeah.
And I talked to him in the locker room after practice today.
Have you noticed any main differences between how you're used in Chicago versus here in terms of the passing game? Because it seems like you're getting quite a bit of targets.
Yeah, I feel like they allow me to do more, being able to show my game off more instead of just being one-dimensional like Chicago had me.
How exciting is that for you?
I'm definitely excited because I put in work, so I want to show that off. But Chicago wasn't able because they had a view of me.
So Jordan Howard just basically felt that the Chicago Bears made him a one-dimensional player. It wasn't who he is. It's not that he can't catch the ball. It's what the Bears made him do. And honestly, he didn't seem overly impressed with the offense either in Chicago, which I think as everyone saw in that playoff game, he probably has good reason for that. I don't think it's a very good and creative offense. I think Doug's a far better head coach than Matt Nagy. So I do think when you look at Jordan Howard, I mean, these aren't really hard catches, but catches that he's going to make in this offense, which are, you know, short screen passes where he's in space and just those type of things. With how good of a pass blocker he is, I really think if you can just add the loop, if you can add the dimension of being a pass catcher, he'll be on the field quite a bit.
Yeah, I think so too, and it's a little bit surprising to me, and that actually kind of just, you know, packs it down a little bit more for me in terms of like Miles Sanders and his role early, because if he's a decent pass catcher, I mean, he's obviously a great pass blocker. So, you know, I mean, he's not coming off on third downs. It means 1, 2, and 3 are still kind of his. And, yeah, the Eagles always kind of rotate him in to get, you know, to break up the snaps, and the percentages probably won't be like 70% of the snaps are going to Jordan Howard. But, you know, I could see a possibility where it's where it climbs to 55 or 60, 65, depending on the matchup and who you're going and if it's the run game's really working. Like, I would honestly not be surprised if there is a if the balance that everybody craves in the old school way of like, hey, you're running and throwing the ball more. In the reality, this offense again just has so many different ways to try and beat you. It can beat you deep, it can beat you intermediate, it can beat you in the run game, it can beat you in the screen game, it can beat you in the middle, it can beat you on the outside. All of those different elements, because well, we've seen it already, and we're just tinkering and adding on to that, or at least that's what Doug Peterson is doing here along with Howie Roseman and the rest here. But yeah, I'm starting to come around on Jordan Howard a little bit and how he's going to fit with this offense. And it would be hilarious if, you know, the quote unquote things that were holding him back is Matt Nagy, you know,
yeah,
like that decline in yards and all of that. And you just get here and he's like, oh my God, yeah, I'll just break off 1800 yards this year. And now you can pay me and I'll be here for a while and whatever. I think that would be, again, an even better trade from Howie Roseman to go get somebody for nothing. And then he's like your long-term running back for the foreseeable future. Although it would kind of make your head scratch why they drafted Miles Sanders in the second round. But,
well, and so that's what I was about to say. I mean, if Jordan Howard ends up being as good as he's looked and, you know, people think he can be, the Miles Sanders still have a role. But it is, I think, important that Miles Sanders is missing OTA practices, right?
Yeah, definitely.
Like we can debate if Fletcher should, I mean, Fletcher's hurt, but we can debate, you know, if Malcolm should be here and those type of things, Lane Johnson, Alshon, those guys. But for a rookie getting you to the NFL, I think it's a big deal that he's sidelined with an injury. And one that's now had him sidelined quite a bit. I know Schefter tweeted last week it wasn't that serious, but now another week missed, basically.
Yeah.
I'm guessing he'll probably be out there for the mandatory minicamp next week, but if he's not, I mean, being sidelined for almost the whole offseason is obviously far from ideal for your rookie year.
Certainly is. And speaking of that, James Franklin was there today. And God, did I want to...
Very overrated, James Franklin.
Boo the shit out of him. I just wanted to. He was right there, 6 feet away from me, maybe even less. I don't know what... I mean, there's a lot of Penn State dudes here. And they were definitely trying to look for ideas, and why wouldn't you?
Well, at one point, I saw James Franklin and Mike Groh talking, and I was just thinking that, like, Eagles fans back in week 4 would probably be like, wow, that's just two really bad offensive minds right there, just going back and forth with ideas that won't work. But Groh's turned around. James Franklin, not so much.
Yes, yeah, yeah. So, you know, I'd be trying to steal every idea I could from this offense. So I'm glad he was down here to, you know, I don't know, try and figure out how to beat an actual Big Ten team. I also thought that, you know, kind of funny, and this is, I think this is just, He's a pro. He's been doing this for a long time. Charles Johnson had a great day today. I mean, he was kind of the star of today's practice. There's no way he makes this team though, right?
Well, let's look at the receivers. So Alshon Aguilar and Deshaun are all locked. JJ is a lock. That's four. I would say at this point, look, Matt Collins is a huge question mark. He's still not practicing. We saw him today at least. Doug said he's still rehabbing and they're encouraged by his progress and all that, but Doug's just going to say that, right? Doug's not going to say they're discouraged by his progress. He hasn't played in close to a year. He missed, you know, a decent portion of training camp that he missed all last year. So I don't know where I'd say his roster spot stands right now. Then after that, there's spots available because Shelton Gibson, I still like him, but they don't seem to be super in love with him. He's good on special teams. Braxton Miller, Greg Ward Jr. I mean, these are all guys you can beat for a job if you're Charles Johnson. And he had two really good catches today. So he's doing everything he can, at least. But how many would you say are locked among the receivers?
No, that same list. I don't disagree. That's just kind of it. And I can't believe he doesn't look like he's 30. Take that for what it's worth, too. I mean, he looks...
No, you could tell me he's an undrafted rookie and not believe it.
Yeah. I would have believed it kind of almost instantly there. And the other guy that stood out to me today is actually Josh Hawkins has had a pretty good OTA so far, too. And I know that, like, that New Orleans game is going to be stuck in everybody's head. And I'm, again, not expecting much, but when we talk about corner depth and all that... I'd like to see that try and carry over into training camp and see and just make it even harder for a DB discussion and I don't know Nate Brown awards and Henry Josey awards and all the rest in there. I think he's going to be one of them at least on the defensive side there. So anything else that we forgot here, Elliot? I'm trying to think if there's any other notes that you have.
Let's think. We talked about the defensive line. Zach Brown practiced today, which was good to see from the linebacker.
Zach Brown, by the way, a fantastic trash talker. Just wanted to point that out.
Okay. There.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
You could hear it.
Caught more than a few. He's really good at it. Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, hey, Washington week one, I'm sure I'll have a lot to say, but, TJ Edwards had a really nice play, the undrafted linebacker out of Wisconsin. My take, the more I watch the secondary, and they are potentially loaded there because they don't even have Jalen and Darby out there, but I wouldn't trade any of the top six guys.
Uh-uh.
Barring getting, you know, obviously an offer you can't refuse, they're going to end up needing all six of those guys this year. I'm not sure how or why or what, but somebody will get hurt, somebody will miss time, somebody won't play as well. And when you look at the Eagles offseason, a real kind of thing they've stuck to is – a constant theme has been depth. They really want to make sure they're deep places, and I think the cornerback fiasco they went through last year is the main reason why. So I'd keep Rasul, I'd keep Cravon, I would keep Sidney Jones and all those guys. I wouldn't trade them away. I would rather just roll with. I'd rather roll with the six guys if I'm the Eagles.
Yeah, no, I feel the same way. And there's because even we talked about it. There's a chance at this depth. Just like we thought last year was, and there was talks about like, oh, well, you're just going to trade Ronald Darby because Sidney Jones is going to be there and like, you don't really necessarily need him. And, you know, there's that big swell. And then all of a sudden everybody was lost. So that same thing could happen again. Like this is, I think Howie is making it a point to hold on to all these guys for specifically for that reason, sort it out after that. Someone's going to rise from the top. Maybe there's a deal that's too good to pass up that comes along, certainly. But,
right.
Yeah, I wouldn't move any of these guys either. All right, let's head to the mail take bag. As you guys are fantastic with the takes. You're fantastic with the questions. Love to hear from you at the Go Birds Pod on the Twitter.com if you're following us there. Gary, the Scottish Eagle at Gary G7 speculation. Based off of Jim Schwartz's comments today, I don't think it was Schwartz who said it, but at what position do you think we are looking to add on defense? Thinking you'll say defensive end, is Clowney a realistic option? I think we've talked about this a couple of times. Is it realistic? Kind of, but ultimately,
I mean, according to you, the defensive line's already so loaded. Why would they have to go out and get?
Well, it is. I think between what you have there already, I don't think it's absolutely necessary. Not that I wouldn't turn it down for for something, but like the cost of it to get Clowney here, I don't even know. I have no idea what the Texans would want.
Would you trade a first?
Yeah, I would, absolutely. That's a no-brainer.
Would you do a first and Aguilar?
Nope. I don't think so. Nope. No, I want as many weapons around Carson as possible.
Here's a good hypothetical, which is obviously not going to happen. I also don't think they're going to trade for Clowney, so they're all hypothetical. But would you do Andre Dillard for Clowney straight up?
No way. Not a chance. No way. No. All right.
Okay. I mean, it's not that crazy. Dillard's never played in the NFL, and Clowney's one of the elite pass rushers. And how Clowney's not that old yet, right? He's still pretty young.
Oh, yeah. It's just the injury history. He might as well be, you know, it feels like he's 30, but, you know, it's he's not even close to that. I think he's 26, 7, 8, somewhere around there.
And I like Dillard, but getting Clowney without giving up a first-round pick is still it'd be pretty impressive.
Yeah, I guess I could see that. And it's kind of interesting that we've literally had really no questions about his progress or anything. It's kind of what happens when it's offensive lineman and you draft him in the first round.
Easy to forget he's even out there, honestly.
yeah. Speaking of that, I did forget one note. Jordan Mailata, who jumped off sides three times today, I think, by my count. And that is not great. So
benched him once for it.
Yeah.
I don't know if he did it multiple times. But.
Pulled him once for prior. So, you know, got to work on those peanut knowledges. It's just sometimes we get an idea in our head and we're like, okay, the future left tackle because it's all there. But, you know, you keep forgetting, like, how do you – you've never played football, ever. Not, like, right. A little bit, never played football. I had the stupidest analogy in my head. I was just like, oh, this is like playing with a bunch of pro gamers and for the first time and me walking in there and being like, I'm pretty good at Madden. And then the next thing you know, you absolutely just get torched and crushed.
Almost the same exact thing, only with real football.
Yeah, exactly. At three-point attempt, who will be the Eagles' Nick Pivetta, a young player said to be an important role or player with promise but doesn't show up this year?
Carson? No.
I'm actually going to – I don't know. Man, that's a good question. Who is the Nick Pivetta of the Eagles? That means that they've been around for a couple of years. Honestly, probably – if I had to pick one guy right now, probably Derek Barnett, right?
Oh, that's a really good one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mine was going to be, although I don't believe it, but wouldn't surprise me, would be Craven LeBlanc. I know he hasn't been here a long time, but kind of like everyone's, you know, super, super excited for
that's
him.
That's a good one, too.
Not a huge sample size. So that would be, but Derek Barnett is the correct answer.
Well, put me down for actually like Craven LeBlanc not being good this year, actually.
I disagree. I've
thought of that since basically the season stopped. You know, I've just said, like, you're never going to see that again. Like, that's kind of a once-in-a-lifetime play out of your mind, and now you're on the roster type of deal. So, I don't know. We'll see.
Real quick on Craven.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see, and not to get into a Joe Douglas talk, but if Joe Douglas does take the Jets job, like, what players he tries to poach from the Eagles, right? Like, you would think that it would make going – like through waivers, potentially more dangerous for Eagles players because you know who Joe doesn't like. Like a guy like Craven, maybe Joe tries to trade for him. So if Joe does take a Jets job, we should do some type of list of guys that could end up following him there.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. Is Donnell Pumphrey one of those guys?
well, as I tweeted, I will go to the grave believing that Donnell Pumphrey is good at football. So he might, but I guess we'll all know who to blame if he does.
Yeah, one thing we did agree on today is, and I mean this in the Nelson Aguilar looks different in year three type of thing. Donnell Pumphrey looks different. He's smoother. I wouldn't say he's necessarily faster, but like you can tell the pounds have finally kept a little bit. Like I would say 3, 4, 5 pounds noticeable, especially in his legs. He does look different. So if you're still holding on to that like Elliot is, God bless you, and I hope you're right. But it is interesting how they just kind of have him out there on punt returns, and that's how he's going to have to make this team, and we're throwing another running back into RB4 mix territory. I'm just saying, if Wendell Smallwood holds off all of this again, I don't know, check him for Not kryptonite. What's the opposite of kryptonite? Check him for the, or maybe he's the kryptonite to every other RB4.
I don't know.
Matt Gumbrecht again. Oh, Matt Gumbrecht, by the way, had a fantastic take that we didn't get to last time. And it's one that me and Elliot agree on, is that hot sauce really is just for show. And it's a bullshit thing that people, like, you know, put on food all the time. And for me personally, if you have to have hot sauce on your food all the time, I don't trust any of your food opinions. I really don't. Cause like
it just masks the taste. Yes. But also like I said today at practice, like if you want it to be hot, just put it in the recipe. Like, why are we waiting till the end and just throwing it on top? Like, if you really want your food spicy, make it spicy.
Yes.
So the more I think about it, it's a good take. I do agree hot sauce is just for show.
Yeah, it is. Everything should be at, like, a medium to almost hot spice level. And there's really... I'm a big bibimbap guy, so you have to have a ton of sriracha in there, and I like that with the combination of everything. But there's very few foods that you need, like, you know, hot sauce to kind of bring out
the things. I actually believe that all food is better cold than hot.
Oh my God.
But that's a debate for another day.
I'm going to leave that there because I'm going to get upset. What other edge rushers could you see the Eagles adding, you know, outside of the team via trade? And he already says he already got my hot sauce take from yesterday. And whatever lures James back, because, like, the actor takes that you've had, which is clearly wrong, hot sauce, which he, like, has to have all the time. We're trying our hardest. So, you know what? Here's what we're going to do. We got to step up our game. We tried the nice part of it, and now we got to go full throttle. Send every hot take you have. If you are listening to this podcast right now, just at James Seltzer. Don't even tell him what it's about. Just say, hey, James, boom, and just give him a hot take. And we'll try to see if that lures him back.
James dropped a take of his own.
Oh, the Jimmy Butler one, right?
The Jimmy Butler one. Yeah, the scorcher out of nowhere on Monday. So
this is, I'm telling you.
Maybe he's trying to be on Art of the Take.
I guess.
I hope Art of the Take, anything but go Bird.
Seltzer's trying to be turned into a takesman. I don't think that's possible. He's just going to say what's on his mind. There's a couple actual people that have mentioned this. And honestly, I've tried to think of any type of defensive end that would be like, oh, that makes a ton of sense. For cost and fit, and it's so fucking hard to, you know, like what would the other team be willing to give up, et cetera, et cetera. I don't even really know. I think that's a good broad question to get into on Friday. That way, give us some time to kind of look over some names and maybe something makes sense out of them. Is there anything that pops into your mind, Elliot, outside of Clowney? Because that's what we keep coming back to.
No, honestly, there's not. It's something I should look into and see, but. I can't think of who it would be. At this point, a free agent's tough. I mean, any of them that are still out there, it's, you know, I guess the Eagles don't like them very much. And in training camp, maybe when injuries happen, teams are willing to steal different people they weren't before, but I can't think of anyone off the top of my head.
Two quick ones for you here. Josh Coffer, over the cap projects the Eagles to get a third round comp pick for Foles and for a fourth for Tate. Hicks and Sandeo cancel out. Odd decision by Howie, says, with the emphasis on the comp pick formula this offseason. Did he expect more free agents to walk and got stuck? I don't think so. And there's not necessarily a lock that Zendejo makes this roster, which then, of course, I think opens back up the fourth round pick. Elliot, tell me if that's wrong.
Yeah, I mean, if Zendejo gets cut, I'm pretty sure the Eagles get that fourth round pick.
Yeah,
I'm not Jimmy Kemsky when it comes to it, but I'm pretty sure that's how it works.
I'm pretty sure that's how it goes, and I think that's every intention of, hey, we're going to try and draft a safety that we like, and if it doesn't happen, at least we have him. So I think that's going into there as well. Oh, crap, I forgot to completely say, Matt Collins was actually on the field today doing, you know, his own thing, not anything with
off
team drills.
Yeah.
And it looked like McLeod was going to practice at first, but he was just warming up with the team and then did individual stuff. So, but
no teams, yeah.
Good sign nonetheless. All right, I've gone 12 rounds with shit Stokes says about this, but I'm going to leave this to you. Here's his take. Jim Schwartz is the defensive version of Chip Kelly. Doesn't make in-game adjustments in his scheme is disadvantageous to clock management. If an opponent has four downs against Schwartz, his defense becomes a turnstile, letting them get all the way to the red zone.
I think it's a good take. Here's what I'll say, though. He's a better version of Chip Kelly, but I do think there are some similarities in the way that Schwartz can be a bit of a one-trick pony. Schwartz kind of just relies on how good that defensive line is. Now, he allows them to be that way. So I think that there's a negative connotation with Chip Kelly, which is why people will probably hate this. But when you look at what Chip was, he was a great offensive mind that wasn't great with adjustments. And I think, you know, there's some truth to what that is with Schwartz on the defensive side.
The game has changed. The game has changed. The game has changed. That's all I'm going to keep saying.
Yeah, no, so I guess that you disagree with the take.
Of course I do.
Well, why? Why do you disagree?
Because, again, points on the board are the only thing that matters. If you keep them off of there, perfect. Fine.
Yeah,
yes. There is holes in every scheme. I like the scheme of don't get beat deep. If they have to use up time, let them use up time. This offense is powerful enough to go and score quickly, often, and a lot. Doug Peterson has been, I mean, just look at it. Any of the offensive drives from 2017 to 2018. This is how it's supposed to work. The offense is supposed to get up a ton. The defense is supposed to, you know, grind it out until they do or whatever. Then they're supposed to go kill the quarterback when they absolutely have to throw. That's how it's supposed to work. It's a complementary to what the offense is doing. If you want the Chicago Bears, go for it. Good luck. I wish you well on having a defensive team in the year of 2019, our Lord. It's not the same anymore. Like, there is no dominant defense anymore. It just doesn't work like that.
Maybe I misunderstood the take, but I agree with everything you just said. The only thing the only comparison I'm saying is I don't think Schwartz is great at in-game adjustments. But in terms of everything you just said, like, yeah, you're not going with a defensive first team. At the end of the day, the defense outplayed the offense last year because they didn't give up a lot of points.
Right.
And I don't really care about yards either. It's why I think Jalen Mills was their best corner prior to getting hurt. So I agree with you. I just think the comparison to Chip Kelly, there is some similarity. And even, honestly, their personality a little bit.
I think that part of it is 100% true. That I agree with a lot, you know. And
the in-game adjustments, I don't think Schwartz is good at, though. You very... Very rarely. I mean, you know, we've seen time and time again when a corner's struggling, he doesn't often do much about it.
But what are you supposed to do? If a corner's struggling, what do you do? Replace him? But I'm just saying, no one has that. What's the adjustment? You know, like, the only...
I know, you shift coverage a certain way. You take him out. I don't know. I'm just saying that...
No, but I'm saying... But that's it. The only things that we say when the defense is struggling ever is play more press or play more off. Don't get beat by the sluggo. Why are you biting on the slam?
I agree that's a lame criticism. I agree with that.
It's just so make an adjustment then. I don't know. Play more zone as opposed to man. Like there's not a lot of stuff. It really just comes down to the personnel that you have. And unless you're like an absolute mind blowing genius, which Jim Schwartz is not, but he's really really good at what he does. I don't know what else to tell you. If you want a different defensive coordinator, fine. I don't think they're going to get really anything different out of your secondary or your defensive line. And that's just my take.
Well, I'm going to have to go back and read this back and forth between you two. But I am definitely pro Jim Schwartz.
No. Me and Schitt, yeah. we love each other. It's always a go birds moment. But we just so disagree on this. Like, there's been months and months and months of going back and forth on that. That's why I just wanted a fresh perspective kind of for once on it. But any final takes before we head out here, ESP?
I feel like there should be a speed limit in NASCAR races and keep them under 100 miles an hour. Just for safety purposes. Who cares? If they're all going the same speed, it's not like one person has an advantage at that point.
You might as well just cancel the entire... sports at that point. You know, it's just...
You think if you watched it on TV and they were going 120 instead of 200, you would even notice the difference?
Yeah, you notice it at the event, which people pay a lot of money
to. The event was go-karts. I mean, you're talking about the event we worked?
No.
Oh, okay, right.
No, I'm saying at an actual NASCAR race, like, it's not... You know, like, if they're going 100 miles an hour, it takes even longer to get around. James was even describing that, like... Yeah, you know, you go around this huge track, and then they're there for 2 seconds. They zip by, unless you just want them to wave to the crowd and be like, "Hey, there's some cars. I like that guy. He likes the brands that I support, or whatever." I don't know.
Well, you really wanted the drivers to be safe, you would agree with me.
If the drivers wanted to be safe, they would agree with you, but even they disagree with you. They've got the need, and the need is speed. So
there you go.
I don't think I have any final takes. I'm pretty content right now. You know, I know that's not
the
game.
It's a beautiful Monday. You got to watch practice with me. How could you not?
Yeah. I mean, here's my take. And it's not even a take, it's just a statement. I've never seen Elliott Shore Parks wear a hat. Never.
Well, I don't wear hats. Yeah. Which is funny because when I was younger, I used to always wear those like flat brim NBA fitted hats all the time. And I used to like hate taking them off. But then I discovered how to comb my hair and make it look good. So now I have no reason to ever put a hat on.
So are you saying people that wear hats are just people that... That's a take right there. People that wear hats are just bad at doing their hair and are embarrassed by how it looks, and that's why they wear a hat.
So I say that's true for Zach Rosenblatt. Not you. You look like a natural hat guy.
I'm a natural hat guy.
You can do your hair if needed. Yeah, and I've seen your hair look nice, so you can definitely do your hair. But Zach... My boy Zach Rosenblatt definitely.
You need some help.
Got to step it up.
All right. Well, we'll see you guys on Wednesday. As always, thank you so much for rating, reviewing, and subscribing. They're coming in great. And again, once we get about, where are we at now? 480 more of them. We will read them all in the podcast, and hopefully that happens before the season.
No, not we.
I will read them. Sorry, my bad. I will read every single one of them. See you on Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for Elliott Shore Parks. I'm John Barchard. This has been Go Birds number 80 right here at Radio.com Sports Radio 94 WIP. Go Birds.
And he said, you know, Chicago always kind of viewed me as a one-dimensional player. And I think we're going to play that soundbite, you know, actually play it right now if you want. But
we'll do it a lot smoother in the editing process. But yes, we will.
How was that? Was that a good cut for me or no?
Yeah.
Not a good tease?
It was an okay tease. What I do is like, I'm going to break it off right where you say, you know, I talked to him in the locker room. Boom, there's the cut, and then you're coming back and just describing it. So that's all.
Why you're a pro.
Yeah.
Why you're a pro.